I want to welcome each and every one of you to all of our campuses at CCV. If you're a first-time guest, I want you to know that this is not our normal service. The sermon is going to be a little different. And yet, if you're here for the first time, you came to me for the right weekend, because you're going to be able to hear the whole strategy and mission and vision of CCV, what we were able to accomplish with God's help last year, and the plans and dreams that we have for the coming year. So I want to begin by saying, what is our mission at CCV? Why in the world do we exist anyway? Well, first of all, CCV exists to win people to Jesus Christ. The Bible puts it this way. It says, the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, came to seek and save, go after those that were lost. You see, lost people matter to Jesus Christ, and that's why lost people matter to us. So in the beginning of our mission and vision, it is that we want to win people to Christ. And in this city, almost 85 to 90% of the people don't know the Lord. So we have an incredible challenge before us. Secondly, we exist to train believers to become disciples. We just don't want to win people to Christ. We want them to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible puts it this way. It was Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. In other words, it's the role of pastors and teachers to train all of us who are part of the body of Christ for service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, as we serve, the bodies build up, but also we together mature in Jesus Christ. Because becoming a disciple is not just knowing more knowledge. Becoming a disciple is being willing to be concerned about others more than yourself. We exist to win people to Christ, to train believers to become disciples, and thirdly, we exist to send disciples to impact the world. The Bible puts it this way, those who had been scattered, persecution came, the early church, and those that had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. In other words, if we're going to send disciples to impact the world, yes, it's part of our missions that we literally are doing things all over the world, but I want you to understand that we want you to take God into your world. If you're a construction worker, you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a coach, a doctor, a nurse, whatever you do, take Jesus Christ into your world, be salt and light, and let's impact the world together. And so if somebody happens to talk to you and say, I see those CCV stickers on cars, what in the world does that church stand for? We should be able to remember three words: win, train, send. On all of our campuses, let's say those three words together. Win, train, send. Not bad. Now everybody, try it again. Win, train, send. That's what CCV is all about. That's our mission. Well, secondly, what's our strategy anyway? You'd say, well, your strategy is you're trying to reach everybody you can with the gospel. Well, yes and no. Yes, we're trying to reach everybody we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we believe it's only when we narrow our focus that we become more effective. Because churches that try to reach everybody often do a poor job of reaching anybody. And so we've said we want to reach everybody, but primarily these are the targets, the strategy that we're going after. First of all, CCV wants to reach the man so we reach the whole family. You say, well, that's pretty chauvinistic. Why in the world would you go after the man anyway? Well, it's because of this statistic. David Murrow, who wrote the book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, found this. When a mother comes to faith in Christ, the rest of the family follows 17% of the time. But when the father comes to faith in Christ, the rest of the family joins him 93% of the time. Okay, forget that you're a church. Let's assume that you're a business. If you were a business and you wanted to get a return on your investment and strategize, and you had a chance to get 93% of the market share versus 17%, wouldn't you say, I'm going after this? And so praise God for godly mothers that are bringing their kids to church. But if the man does not get involved, what happens when those kids reach about junior high and dad goes off to play golf? They say, hey, I'm not going to church anymore because dad doesn't go. And then you have a problem. So CCV, our strategy is to reach you guys. We want you to be the spiritual leaders in your family, because as your commitment goes, so goes the rest of the family. And so we want to reach the men so we can reach the whole family. Secondly, we want to reach the younger generation so we have a future. Because the church is really only one generation away from extinction. And so you'd say, well, how in the world are you going to reach the younger generation? Well, that's why we put a lot of resource and staff into our children's and youth programs. And we have some incredible children's and youth programs. We also target our weekend services for more of the younger generation. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're about my age, and you're saying on these campuses, wait a minute, but the music is really loud. Okay? That's why we have earplugs you can pick up when you come in. All right, listen carefully. One reason God has blessed the ministry of CCV is because of our senior adults. A lot of our senior adults will say to me, Pastor Don, it's really pretty loud, but you know what? You're reaching my grandkids, and I'll put up with anything in church to reach my grandkids for Jesus Christ. And it's because of that attitude that God's really blessing our ministry. Or some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Don, I know about how old you are. Why don't you design a service the way you want? Because you're the pastor. Because you see, if I design the whole service exactly like I like, it'll only reach people just like me and will never reach the younger generation. So our second strategy is we want to reach the younger generation so we have a future. Thirdly, we want to reach our neighbors so that we can change the culture. I believe this strategy is revolutionary because you see, if we can reach our neighbor, you can change one household, one street, one neighborhood, one city, one state, one nation, one world, literally one person at a time. That's why last year our theme was the power of one. So we can literally reach our neighbors one person at a time. Yeah, I hope that all of you will have a chance to go on a mission trip somewhere around the world, but I want you to know that for most of us, the most important mission trip and one of the most difficult mission trips we will ever go on is to walk across the street or to walk across the hall and try to reach our neighbors or our coworkers with the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that's why CCV exists. That is our mission and our strategy. And so I want you on our campuses now, all of you, would you look at the annual report that you picked up when you came in, and would you grab that and open that, and we're going to look quickly at some of the things there, and then you can take it home and read it in more detail later on. First of all, our goal every year is to grow by 10% in all areas, in attendance, in giving, in neighborhood group participation, in those that volunteer, in our giving. We want to increase 10% every year because we believe if we're going to have a healthy church, it's not growing 30% one year and plateauing next year. It is a consistent, healthy growth, and that is our goal. And I want you to know that in our campuses, all of our campuses grew at least by 10% in these areas, and that's incredible. But the first thing you'll see is baptisms. 2,108 baptisms. Those represent changed lives, and that's the church. That's really why we're here, because the church is not building. The church is people, and it's people that are giving their lives for Jesus Christ. Look at our attendance. Our attendance jumped quite a bit this year to 23,395 weekly average. Not prideful, but just let you know what's going on. It's by far the largest church in Arizona, and it's also one of the top 10 largest churches in the United States. Thirdly is our ministry partners. Thank you. All good. Thirdly, look at our ministry partners. Our ministry partners, we have almost 7,000 volunteers, 6,697 volunteers that partner in our ministry. And on all of our campuses, this is huge. And the reason why this is huge, so many of you serve consistently and you're ministry partners, and I want you to know because of that, that allows us to put more money into ministry. Most large church pastors that I talk to, if you would say, how much of your budget is for staff, salaries, and benefits, it's from 45 to 60% in almost every church that I interact with. You need to know that CCV this year will be 37% of our budget is for staff, salaries, and benefits, again, which releases more ministry to reach more people. And again, I just want to say thank you so much. Look at our mission partners. CCV basically has 89 ministry partners. We work in 38 different countries and on 6 continents. And I want you to know that when you give generously and sacrificially, it does have a worldwide impact. And one thing that I want to change in the coming year, this year, is I want to show more stories of what God's doing around the world with your giving. Because if we're not careful on any of our campuses, if we're not careful, all we see is what God's doing on our campus, and God's doing great things. But I want you to see that your gift is multiplied over and over and over again as God is impacting the rest of the world. So I want to do that this year, show more of those stories. What about neighborhood ministry? This is really the skeletal system of our church. If you don't get connected, we're going to have a hard time ministering to you. We have over 8,000 people involved in over 500 neighborhood groups. And the reason why I'm in a group, the reason why I want you to get connected in the group, because if you have a struggle or issue and you say, well, I'm going to leave the church, nobody ministered to me, it's probably because nobody knew anything was wrong. But if you're involved in a group, like I'm involved in a group, we pray for each other, we take care of each other, we encourage each other, we support each other, and that's why these groups are so important, and I want to encourage you to get involved. You saw in the youth camps, as you look there, the youth summer camps, we had over 3,300 campers. The good news is so many young people make first-time decisions for Christ when they go to camp. We had over 700 baptisms this summer in our camping program alone. Youth sports, give yourselves a hand. Youth sports, we have our Youth Sports Stars ministry on 3 of our 5 campuses, and we currently have over 8,000 young people involved in youth sports, and approximately 60% of those involved are not members of a church. And so it's a great opportunity to build relationships and help reach those for Jesus Christ. You'll see our Leadership Institute. The Leadership Institute, we realized as we began to talk with a lot of Bible colleges that they were having a hard time preparing the young generation to work in the local church. It's changing so rapidly. We said, how can we partner with you for both of us to be more effective? And so we started a year ago with a residency program that's 9 months. They can finish their 4th year back at their college, or they could also come for 9 months if they have a bachelor's degree, and with extra reading, they can get a master's degree. We had 25 last year. This year, we have 36 residents from 6 different colleges nationally and one foreign college and one foreign country as well. So we're trying to raise up the next generation of leaders. On the lower left-hand side, the graph shows you our 2014 expenses and how that's been allocated to the different areas. You also see our online giving has been improving year after year from 46% to 56% to 62% this past year. And you also see that 15,000 giving units participated in the ministry of CCB. What's a giving unit? It would be one person or one family. If you give online or write a check, that would be considered one giving unit for the church. And so I want to say to each of you on all 5 of our campuses, thank you for your prayers, for your support, for your participation, for serving, for giving generously, and inviting your friends to come and be a part of this ministry. 2014 was a great year for CCV. It was a great year for the kingdom of God. And on all of our campuses, let's celebrate together what God has been able to do through us this year. This past couple weeks, I had a little extra time on my hands because pastors only work one day a week. And so I was thinking about some things, and I was watching sports, and I began to think, I wonder which sports team in Arizona has the most attendance in a year. So I want us to look at this. The highest attendance in 2014, number 6, was the Arizona Cardinals, 495,835. Number 5 was the Phoenix Open. They had 563,000. Number 4 was the Arizona Coyotes, 564,000, almost 565,000. Number 3, highest attendance was the Phoenix Suns, 650,000. I wonder what the highest attendance one was in the state. Highest attendance, let's look at that. Arizona Diamondbacks. They have 81 home games. They had over 2,073,000 in highest attendance. I wonder what team was number 2. I want you to look at the number 2 team on attendance for 2014.
Isn't that incredible?
That totally caught me off guard. As I was looking at that and had a wild thought, so let's just look at that. I want you to know that CCV and all of our campuses, you are a part of a winning team. And we can impact this valley for Jesus Christ. Now let's look ahead at 2015. And I just want to share some things that we believe God's laying on our heart as we move forward in 2015. First of all, again, we want to grow by 10% this year again in all areas, from neighborhood ministry involvement to volunteers to baptisms to attendance to giving. All those areas we want to increase by like 10%. Secondly, right after Easter, we're going to open our sixth campus in Avondale. All right? And we're praising God for that. And the Avondale campus is right here. The way to find it is if you go on 101, turn right, go on I-10 toward California, you go about a mile and a half, there's an industrial area there, and we have two buildings. The build-out is almost completed. We're looking forward to opening that right after Easter. If you kind of look at this map, you'd say, well, wait a minute, where should we go in 2016? Most people would say you hit the middle of the city and go out everywhere. Well, we're kind of backwards. We're surrounding the city, and now we're ready to close in on everybody, all right? So it looks like 2016, we'll be praying the following year for probably somewhere in central Phoenix that we're looking at that we can impact that part of the city for Jesus Christ. Again, a lot of the campuses we have, we didn't plan those. God brought them in our situation, so we're going to be strategic looking, but we're always going to be open to God. What do you want us to do? So our sixth campus will open in Avondale right after Easter. Third thing this year, it's going to be a little different for all of us, but I think we'll adjust well. We will be eliminating passing the offering baskets beginning next week. Now, there's a couple reasons. Giving patterns of people have changed. How people give today is different. For example, I was in a health food store the other day. It's called McDonald's. And I was noticing the young people in front of me. And they're using their phone for everything. They don't carry cash, most of them. They don't write checks. They do everything with their phone. And that's why we developed then a CCV app that you can give right from your phone. But I also began to look as I visit a lot of the different campuses all the time, and I'm sitting there, and there's a basket comes by. There's hardly nothing in it. And I, probably like you that give online, when it comes by me, I want to stand up and say, I give online. All right? And so basically what we're going to do is this year, we're still going to receive gifts, but we're going to do it with basically these are at all the doors and exits. There'll be a container, and it'll just say offering, and you can put your offering in if you want. If you don't give online, you can do it that way, and you can still write your check. There'll be envelopes there, and you can drop that in if you still want to give that way. My challenge for CCV on all of our campuses is we move. It's a big challenge. That we move from 62% online to 80% online this year. And if you're not giving online on all of our campuses, I want to encourage you to do that. My wife and I give online. Most of our bills are paid online, and that way we know that the Lord every week is getting first priority of our finances and our stewardships. I just want to encourage all of you, if you're not, go on our website, and you'll see how to do that very simply. And I just want to challenge you. Please consider going online next year. Thirdly, we want to expand our leadership training. I said we have our residency program. We have 36 this year. We want to expand that to 50 next year. On our state, we've had an amazing opportunity that's been presented to Christ Church the Valley. When I grew up in the Midwest in Kansas, often the kids would go from mission trips from Indiana and Ohio and Kansas, the Midwest. They would come out to the Arizona to youth mission trips on the Native American Indian reservations. When I came to Phoenix, it caught me off guard that almost all the churches in Phoenix, they take mission trips to Mexico. Very few work on the reservation. And so there's some churches in the Midwest that have a training center in Sholo. And they're just not having really good success with that. And they know the ministry of CCV. They approached our missions pastor and said, we would be willing to give this center to you because we believe you can effectively raise up a next generation of Native American pastors. And so we now have the first, North American Leadership Training Center. It'll be in Sholo, Arizona. That's where it is. And the interesting thing is it's on public land. Because many Native American tribes will not go to another tribe to receive training. They're pretty territorial. So this allows pastors from any tribe to come and be trained. It has housing for 50 pastors. And our goal is to train 144 Native American pastors this year alone. And then hopefully the center will be expanded. So that is a great opportunity. We continually want to train pastors and serve churches of any size and any place in the country. You need to know on all of our campuses that not a week goes by that we have churches, church pastors or church leaders that either call or visit CCV and they want to know how we're doing ministry. And our philosophy is we're here to serve and help everybody, anybody, no matter what size church. And so I want to tell you that because on all our campuses, you need to know that the person sitting next to you each and every week could be a visitor from another church, wanting to see how friendly that we are. And so this is a ministry that we really have. Now that we're doing multi-sites, a lot of churches are coming to say, how are you doing this? So I just want to encourage you, continually be friendly to those that are sitting next to you because they could be from out of state. Internationally, what are we doing? For years, we've been training pastors and leaders around the world. This year, we'll continue to train in Eastern Europe. We'll continue to train in India. And this year, we've also been asked to come and train pastors in Spain. So when you give again generously, you're not seeing a lot of this happen, but God is really doing way more than you can think or ask or imagine through your gift and through your prayers. Our theme for this year, last year was the power of one. Our theme for this year is simply going to be love your neighbor. And I want you to know there's a difference between loving your neighbor and getting your neighbor in a neighborhood group. Getting your neighbor in a neighborhood group is, to me, way down the end. If you can do that first, God bless you. But most people, it doesn't happen that way. It happens here, where we just spend time and build relationships. We do what? Well, as you saw in the video before the service, some guys standing in bacon. That was a neighborhood group on Halloween that cooked 40 pounds of bacon and reached their neighbors. The smell went everywhere, and everybody's coming to get some bacon, all right? So I guess if you want to love your neighbor, serve them bacon, all right? Or it might mean you watch a Super Bowl together, you have a cookout together, your swimming party together, or whatever it is. We just want this year, each of us to say, my ministry is going to be, how can I literally begin to love my neighbor? I want you to know this past year, some of you may have heard, this past year, one of the greatest joys for me is that my neighbor is right across the street. My wife and I, we had a chance to baptize them in their pool this year. You see, I've lived in the same house for about 6 years, and I've been telling you to reach your neighbors, and I wasn't doing a good job reaching my neighbors, and I was feeling pretty guilty. But a few months ago, we were talking in the street, and they said, we're going to come and try your church. And they came to church. Hang with me. 2 weeks after they came to church, they signed up for Starting Point. They became members. 2 weeks after they went through Starting Point, they said, where can we serve? And they're greeters at a Saturday evening service at the same door and have been doing that since they started joining our church. Not only that, in September, we began a new season of neighborhood groups. And I said, hey, we're starting a group up again. Want you to come. And they came. They loved it. It meets in my house. And after three times of meeting there, my wife and I were going to be out of town. I said, hey, would you guys please host this week? Would you like to do that? They said, sure, we'd be glad to host. And I want you to know it's never come back to my house. They host literally every week, and they serve, and seeing the joy in their life has given me great joy. And I don't want you to miss out on that. Some of you have already reached your neighbors way better than me, but if you haven't, I want you to experience the joy of seeing your neighbors really be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. So that is going to be our theme for 2015. You know, as we've been in five campuses around the city, we're getting ready to go to a sixth campus around the valley. We've been saying, how in the world can we get together in one service? Because we're spread out. And if you're in one campus, you really don't know what the impact that we're having literally around the city. And so we said, how can we get together? And so you need to know, first time announced, this year, we're going to have Easter, one service, Easter at 10:30. We've rented out the Cardinals Stadium for one big Easter service. A couple years later, we'll go to two services. But right now, we got to fill her up the first time, okay? We're praying for at least 50,000 people at that service. And I want you to know, don't miss that. It's going to be great. I know it'll be a little different schedule for you, one service on Easter weekend. Some of you, if you're planning on being out of town, may your car break down, okay? I'll just pray against you right up front, all right? So just make sure that you're there. It's going to be an historic event. You know, we were talking about, wow, if we're going to try and fill this thing, we don't want to, you know, not fill it or at least have enough people there. Maybe we need to bring in a celebrity like Carrie Underwood or Chris Tomlin or something like that. And we were talking about that. And then we said, you know, we're not going to do that because Easter is the Super Bowl for Christians and the celebrity should be Jesus Christ. And so we're not going to bring any outside celebrities. So what does that mean on all of our campuses? That means that's a huge responsibility on all of us to maybe get out of our comfort zone for the first time and begin to pray and invite and bring in some friends with us. And so what I want you to do for Easter, all of our campuses, I want all of you to commit that you will come, and I want you all to commit that you'll begin already thinking, praying about one family that you can bring with you. You won't come alone. Some of our neighborhood groups are saying, we're going to tailgate together, okay? So you do whatever you want, however it takes to get your neighbors and your friends there. Every person bring at least one other family or one other person with them. But for some of you on our campuses, you're saying, wait a minute, I want to do more for this incredible event, and that really doesn't challenge me enough. And so I want you to know on all the campuses, after I pray and close the service, your campus pastor will come out and give each of you a special challenge that you can do maybe more than you ever thought. And so don't anybody leave at your campus until we're done. Well, that's the state of the church. That's the challenge that I believe God has laid before us at CCV for this coming year. And I want to say to all of you on all of our campuses, thank you for impacting this valley with the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come and say to you today, thank you for a great year. Thank you for a great year. Lord, we do this all for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.